So hello everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Turning Towards Life. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space and we are back again. It's our 442nd conversation of this series, Lizzie. We are on a roll is what I want to say, quite a long one actually. And it's lovely to see you and really welcome everyone, whether you are watching us on our turningtowards.life website or listening on a podcast or who knows where or when you are, you're so welcome to be around us. And Lizzie, last week when we did this, we were surrounded by actual people. We were together face to face. It was our 21st anniversary of Third Space birthday in-person retreat for people who've learned with us over the years. And there were nearly 50 of us in the room. It was an extraordinary thing. And now we're back in our little private rooms, looking at one another through computer screens. And it's still very, very good. Very, very good to be with you. And we're going to do in a moment what we ordinarily do, which is you've brought a very rich and powerful source for us, like the head of a river or something. And we're going to read together and it will flow into the midst of our conversation and flow through us. And we'll speak for a while and see where it takes us, like we always do. And it always takes us somewhere and very often to very excellent places. And we know, of course, that this conversation then lives in the minds and hearts and in-betweens of so many of you in the world who are alongside us. Many, many of you, and in fact, a growing number of you are with us. And if you've just landed in Turning Towards Life, which we know that people do very often, maybe somebody recommended this to you, or maybe you Googled the name of a poem you love and you found your way to us that way. If you go to turningtowards.life, there are many options there for browsing through, listening and watching all of our prior conversations. You can support us. You can sign up for our weekly email, which brings this and the sources into your inbox. You can find out about the Turning Towards Life live program that we run. You can find out about the coaching that we do and teach. There's lots there to meet you and to be in relationship with, if you like. So that's all at turningtowards.life. And now, Lizzie, over to you.
Thank you, Justin. So we have this extraordinary source by Parker Palmer today. And I didn't need anything other than the first line, really, to hook me into this. And we're going to read it to one another, Justin, and see how we unfold. So here we go. Sooner or later, everything falls away. You, the work you've done, your successes, large and small, your failures too. Those moments when you were light, alongside the times you became one with the night. The friends, the people you loved who loved you, those who might have wished you ill. None of this is forever. All of it is soon to go, or going, or long gone. Everything falls away except the thread you followed, unknowing, all along. The thread that strings together all you've been and done, the thread you didn't know you were tracking until, toward the end, you see that the thread is what stays as everything else falls away. Follow that thread as far as you can, and you'll find that it does not end, but weaves into the unimaginable vastness of life. Your life was never the solo turn it seemed to be. It was always part of the great weave of nature and humanity. An immensity we come to know only as we follow our own small threads into the place where they merge with the boundless whole. Each of our threads runs its course, then joins in life together, this magnificent tapestry, this masterpiece in which we live forever.
Oh, wonderful writing by Parker Palmer, Lizzie, and we will post this in the show notes as we always do, and on the website and in the emails and all of those places. So I'm going to read. And I wonder if sometimes we say this, Lizzie, I'll say this to you and to me and to everyone who's with us. You might want to, if you're in the midst of something else, just see if there's some part of you that can come into contact with the words and let them reach you. It might mean stopping or pausing something that you're doing. It might mean taking a breath, it might mean just bringing your attention to what is being said. And this is Parker Palmer. Sooner or later, everything falls away. You, the work you've done, your successes, large and small, your failures too. Those moments when you were light alongside the times you became one with the night. The friends, the people who loved, the people you loved who loved you. Those who might have wished you ill. None of this is forever. All of it is soon to go or going or long gone. Everything falls away except the thread you followed unknowing all along. The thread that strings together all you've been and done. The thread you didn't know you were tracking until, toward the end, you see that the thread is what stays as everything else falls away. Follow that thread as far as you can, and you'll find that it does not end, but weaves into the unimaginable vastness of life. Your life was never the solo turn it seemed to be. It was always part of the great weave of nature and humanity, an immensity we come to know only as we follow our own small threads to the place where they merge with the boundless whole. Each of our threads runs its course and then joins in life together. This magnificent tapestry, this masterpiece in which we live forever.
Thank you, Justin. I don't really know where to begin other than like the mystery feeling. Like, yes, sooner or later everything falls away. And I've been thinking this was my life or something. Maybe it just isn't at all. Maybe it's life. And I don't know whether I even have the right language here, but I'm participant or something, or I'm letting it flow through me in whatever ways I can. But this whole crazy next to each otherness of building a life, being successful, doing things, getting things wrong, getting things right, being happy, being sad, you know, all of these, I guess, ambitions maybe of how to live and how to be in the world. And then, yes, it all falls away at some point. And somehow this underpinning feeling of when all of that's not here, what is here? Like, who am I without all of this? Feels like maybe, I don't know, being released or something, like released into something that doesn't have much content, but which feels very compelling to me. Like, oh, now this is interesting. Like, what on earth is really happening here? And I think it's a relief to read this in some ways, because I often feel like as soon as I ask into anything, it becomes very clear that I don't really know what's happening or what's going on really, really. And so in a way, there's a relief in this, because it's like someone's saying that the substance of everything isn't the shallow stories that we've been given. The substance of everything is really different than that. And I don't particularly have any answers to what the substance of everything is, but I do know it's not all of the trappings that I've been led to believe. Because I felt, I mean, I've said this many times here, but, you know, I felt the dead-endness of, oh, I've got to the place where I thought I wanted to get, and it's not the thing that I thought it was going to be. It's a letdown. I was just checking in with somebody in our community before this call, Justin, and saying how this story of there's a destination or a place where everything is just fine, or like a place where you go, oh, there we go, I've done it. Everything's done now. It doesn't exist. And I feel like my life is getting the hang of that more and more, like just accepting that that isn't going to happen. And even if it does, it won't be what I think it's going to be anyway. It's an illusion. It's like a mirage or something. And so in the acceptance of that, or I guess it being in the process of accepting that that is true, when a piece of writing like this comes along, I think, oh, thank goodness I'm not completely mad or something. Like I haven't completely lost the plot. This is actually an experience that's valid and real, which is, oh, I can see that all these things that I thought were what life was about are not the whole truth, that there's something else happening here too. When this writing comes along, my system, my bodily system, my nervous system goes, oh, okay, now can we talk about the mystery then? Now can we talk about the nothingness that exists when I'm not all my achievements or the things that I thought would have me feel successful in the world or something?
A lot. I think it's a lot to take in, Lizzie, to really take this piece in from Parker, because we have to take in, well, so much all in one go. So one is facing that everything ends, that we'll lose ourselves and we'll lose all of our relationships and all of our possessions and everyone we love, and they will lose us. So that part one. And I think we understandably resist knowing that. And one of the difficulties of knowing that is, so what does it all add up to? What's it all for if it's all going to fall away and it's all going to disappear? And that's a really important question. And at the same time, Parker's also asking us to face up to that our individual selves are not where it's all at, which is not to diminish the sacredness, I think, of the individual person. We rightly care about the experience of individual people because people matter, and how people experience life really matters. I was thinking as you were reading and then as you were talking, the one of the places to start with it is to look truthfully, to start with the people we all have known and loved who are no longer around, just to start there, and to start to look, however difficult it is, to look that they're no longer around, and then also to feel that we know that they are still around. We're the ones who are closest enough in. And it's possible to be quite rigorous and scrupulous about this, in as much as we can tell anything, which is to say, to take a person to go, what do I know about how my life and who I am was changed by that person's presence? And to know that what we know about how somebody has shaped us is only the tiniest part of how they'll have shaped us, because not everything can be put into words anyway. So I'm thinking about my grandfather, and I'm thinking about friends I've loved who are no longer alive. And I can feel in me, from those ones who have gone, how different I am because they were here. And I only know the tiniest part of it. And if I take that thinking and I extend it backwards one more step, they were all shaped by people who they came across and who I didn't know. And yet the impact of that shaping, that weaving, is here flowing through me. It has to be, because the ones who I loved, who touched my life, are in me. And I do think that what I've found is that opening myself to receive that from what was before has been very helpful in understanding this, in lessening my holding on too tight. Because when I can't feel that coming in, sort of like from behind, when in the times when I haven't allowed myself to be in receipt of that, then it feels much more like, well, life is just me, isn't it? I feel much more isolated and individualist, and as if everything I am came into being when I came into being, and it's all going to disappear when I go. And I can feel from the ones behind that that's not true. And if that's not true from the ones behind, it's also not true from the ones in front. And I don't mean that we all have to have children in order to be this case, because I'm talking about our teachers and our, you know, and I'm also talking about, I'm thinking right now, Lizzie, about somebody who sent me an email. I remember exactly the email and I remember why it was sent to me, that pointed me in the direction that ended up with my place in this something we call third space happening, which is how I met you and so many others. And that's flown on into everything that we've done since then. I know that email, if I hadn't have received it, some other path would have happened in my life. And this person who sent it to me has no idea. No idea. So it seems to me it doesn't take very much looking for us to find out the part of this that are threads, and there's another whole part, maybe I'll come back to it if it seems appropriate later, but there's the part that Parker talks about is, if we follow our own thread, we'll find that it leads, it dissolves into the whole, or it weaves itself into the whole. Actually, if we really look, it's not so hard to see that this is unarguably the case, even though so much of our surrounding culture, we make an error when we think we're on our own, because we never could have been, and we never have been, and our presence matters unarguably, not only because it's a sacred thing to be alive and to be a conscious being, but it clearly matters because we find out how quickly the presence of others mattered to us.
You're having me think, Justin, about essence. And somehow this thread thing and the presence of others, and as I feel into, as you say, the people who are no longer here, what gets left behind as they live on in me, in my, I received them, and what I received still is here. It got received of them. And as I was reflecting, I was feeling into, well, what got received really, as I'm feeling into those ones, is the flavor of their essence. And of course, sometimes there's complexity in there of, you know, if I remember my granddad, for example, there's all kinds of ways he hurt my feelings and did the wrong thing, and he was hurt and, you know, unaware and all the things. But really, his essence is what lives on most strongly in me, which was kind of quirky, generous, cheeky. Like, there's lots of feelings I have about him which live on. And then that's having me wonder about, when we're doing anything, what are we really contributing anyway, given the nature of everything falling away, really? And so when I'm with you, what if what I'm actually gifting you, in spite of everything, in spite of myself, in spite of all my personality things, what if I'm really gifting you my essence and you're really gifting me yours, in whatever kind of messy kerfuffle we're in together? Maybe that's what's really happening. And of course, when a baby is born and they have their everything falls awayness there and ready, because nothing has got built on them yet, so they're in the state of everything falls away when they come in some way. Their everything falls awayness is this extraordinary chance for us to encounter beings in the unbuilt, unachieved, unsuccessfulness of a human. And as we go through our lives, maybe what's happening is that everything falls awayness in us, our essence, our givenness. Maybe it's for us to see what brings us to that most fully. Maybe me bringing you like if I was to consider my threads, what happens in spite of me, like where I end up, who I end up with, how I end up, what I end up contributing or whatever, and what calls to me and what sings to me and what I say yes to and what I say no to, if I look at that and quietly feel into it, maybe all along it's been about the longing to bring myself, my essential self, to life, to give the gifts that I was intending to bring all along, and finding a way to do that. And sometimes having to be kind of countercultural enough to do that, given what's expected of me and what I should be doing with my time. And listening, as Parker Palmer's inviting us to, listening to the threads of our lives, to the calling, to the kind of the something to follow that feels like it belongs to me. Maybe that's a really important thing, which is very little spoken of. So all of the everything that falls away in terms of what we've done and our successes and our failures and our light and our dark and all of those things, maybe it's just we've been, yeah, told to look in directions that have, as you say, have their value, but that they are less enduring than we have been led to believe somehow.
Mm. There's this whole conversation this year's got me thinking about the stories we tell about what we are and what we're for. And I can feel how this account gets us back to something very essential itself, essential and straightforward. And I was thinking about how when we feel like we're on our own, when we can't feel the way the world, I mean, it's an amazing thing for any of us who got to be here, that the whole world conspired for us to be here. A lot of things had to work out. A lot of people had to stay alive all the way through. And before there were people, you know, it's a really extraordinary thing. So it maybe can open, what it's opening in me is a sense of gratefulness, not the sort of, I'm going to make a list of five things I'm grateful for at the end of today, like I liked the fact that the sun came out or something like that, something much deeper than that, which is, oh, sort of like it's a shock to wake up into, I'm here because I got born out of this great weave. I didn't just like get teleported in or something. I emerged. We all emerge from the weave. That's what happens. That was in a way of thinking about what birth is we emerge. Our bodies emerge from this great weave. So that's really something to take in. And then if we live, it's a really world-shifting story to live in, Parker's story, from the story of like I'm a kind of separate, like I'm a sort of hard surface that bumps into other things sometimes, to know ourselves as a woven something that is then weaving and being woven. Mm. I can feel in me, it doesn't change my wish to create safety. It doesn't change my wish to create some kind of stability under my feet, to take care of things. But what it is doing is it's changing my sense that a lot of the measures we have of what would be a successful life, or even a safe kind of life, kind of fall away in the face of this. Because if I can't tell from the place I am in the pattern, I can't really tell much about how my weave got woven or what it weaves into. It asks a different set of questions along the lines that you're asking, which is what is it to be a thread in this as fully as I can? Mm. What is it to not hold back the filaments that I can bring into the world that might then weave into other things? What is it to take up a place? What is it to sort of let myself be taken up by life, like the thread gets taken up by the loom? And how also might it help me not compare myself with all the other people who are weaving and being woven in other ways. You know, like I'm not going to be in my life many things. I'm not going to be an entrepreneur who changes the world through some stunning product, I don't think. Maybe, I'd be surprised if I was, but I don't think that's going to be my path. And I'm certainly not going to be a championship skier, and I'm not going to build tower blocks, and I'm not, there's so many things that aren't going to be my life, but they're all part of the weave. That's the part that I'm trying to point to, is that they happen somewhere. Many of those things will be wonderful and important things, and thank goodness for the people who invent medicines and build hospitals and figure out how to teach and build financial systems, and you know, all of those weaves are happening. So my job is something like, take the end of the threads, all the threads that have come into me, most of which I cannot know, allow them to take their place, and then weave myself in, knowing that everything that is individual about me will fall away, but the thread will continue. It's really a different way to look at what might be important or called for, or where we might put our attention, or how we might love, or how we, the kind of generosity we might be, and all of that. It's like, and it tells me something a lot about how shaping the stories that we tell about what it is to be a person are, that we often don't even know that we're telling. Mm. And here's Parker's extraordinary one, that's a whole different retelling of personhood.
Gosh, as we're coming to a close, Justin, I'm feeling like, you know, the familiar feeling, the turning towards life feeling of, oh my gosh, I've got way more questions. I've got no answers. I was going to say I've got way more questions than answers, but I don't have any answers. So it's the feeling of it. And I'm feeling, yeah, just the longing, which I think is also just being met in the world. The longing that this conversation, this unusual conversation, finds its way to the ones of us who are in this kind of questioning of the obviousnesses of the world. I just think for so many of us, these promises that we've relied on have crumbled in some way, in our imagination, in reality, like material reality. And I feel like, yeah, it's one of those conversations that really matters, to feel into the everything has fallen awayness, and trust that that's a place that's legitimate and good and okay, and that we are in it together, you know. So I'm in appreciation of that kind of togetherness in it, and also the mystery of it, that the unnailed downness of it or something, and really grateful that we can be in the wondering together, and to really encounter this gift from Parker Palmer and allow it to move us and touch us through speaking about it. And I want to just say, Justin, as we've been talking, I've been really grateful for the fact that we do this Turning Towards Life Live thing together, where we invite people in to do this with us, just like we do here, which is, we're not finding the answers to everything or something, but we're engaging with our lives and engaging with our questions through these sources. And just for anyone who's here and would want to step into community like this, you can find about all of that on our website, turningtowards.life, and you can always email us hello@turningtowards.life. We'll always receive your email, and we will always reply and always be joyful about hearing from you. So please be in touch. And Justin, thank you for meandering here with me together today. And we'll be back next week with a source that Justin chooses next time.
Indeed, we will. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.